It's Communion Sunday again. It's Communion Sunday again. It's Communion Sunday again.
Amen.
So I've got a period, a question mark, and an exclamation point. Before I preach this sermon, two things that I remember about the preaching and communion. Years ago, was an associate minister, and as such, I was given the freedom on occasion to fill in for other pastors in the district. One of those pastors had a three-point charge. He had China, Nome, and Fannett. Now, it's China and Nome, Texas. Okay. Now, I didn't go from China to Alaska, but so I filled in for him. I remember the first sermon was about 25 minutes. The second sermon was about 20 minutes. Y'all are already feeling blessed. And the third sermon was about 15 minutes. No, that's not the way it's going to be here at St. Paul's. I have matured since then. The other thing I remember about communion is I had a small country church, and my first Sunday there was Communion Sunday. And the sweet little lady, her name, we called her Pete made the juice and the elements. And she made it out of some type of grape that grew in the area. So it didn't look like Welch's grape juice at all. And the bread plate was sitting right on top of the container with the little vials of juice, right? So it comes time for me to serve it, and I pick up the bread plate. In a little bit I heard thump, thump, wet, thump. The little cups of juice had stuck to the bottom of the plate, and they began to fall off. What a way to start at a church, right? Communion. So, Lord, today, bless the meditation of my heart, the words from my mouth. May we truly leave this place today, understanding the beauty and the glory of Communion Sunday again, and going out and living the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in the glow of Holy Communion. In your name, amen. Communion Sunday again, period. I can make that statement because Communion Sunday is a statement of extreme importance. It has a history. The history of communion goes all the way back to when Jesus was sitting in a room with disciples, and I am fully persuaded there were women there, though they weren't at the head table. And part of that comes from my own experience growing up in Northeast Arkansas when Thanksgiving and Christmas would roll around and all the grandmothers, kids, and other grandkids like me would show up. The men ate first. The women ate second. And we children ate third. I didn't know there was anything to a chicken but a wing for my first 13, 14 years. And then at Christmas when we had turkey, they conned me into believing that that drumstick on the turkey wing, that was a turkey leg. That doesn't work anymore. And let me tell you, when I got married and we came along, our kids didn't eat last. We all sat at the table together. So they were in that upper room and they had their Jewish Passover meal, which they had done for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and nobody probably had said anything any different than what they had typically done at a Jewish Passover. But along comes Jesus. And Jesus says, "This represents my body." And he held up bread. He held up the juice. "This represents my blood." And I'm sure they were sitting there and their eyes were probably this big about right now, and they didn't know what on earth to think. But for Jesus to do that was a rather normal thing, because that's what he had been doing, hadn't he? Scripture says he had been eating and drinking with sinners. And by the way, folks, we are sinners. Had a bishop for 4 years. Every time we went to conference, he opened the conference and said, "Good morning, sinners." And we said back to him, "Good morning, sinner." Because that's what we are. Jesus ate and drank with people like us. He broke bread with them. Bread was a part of every meal. They probably had wine. And folks, it wasn't... When you go Shirley Temple, it wasn't a Shirley Temple wine. It was the real McCoy. And he did that. He began doing that with his first miracle, turning water into wine. Jesus led a common life with common people, and he broke bread and he shared the fruit of the vine. And it was only natural for him, when the time came for his suffering, to sit down with his disciples and do the thing that meant most to him, and he shared that. That's part of our history. It is a fact. And we have been doing it ever since. Oh yeah, we've added all kinds of ecumenical and all kinds of various denominational liturgies to it, and we've changed it and all. But folks, there's something about getting back to the fact that it's Communion Sunday again. It's something that we do on a regular basis, and we just do it. Secondly, it's Communion Sunday again. Would you believe if I said to you, some people stay away from church on Communion Sunday? They do. I know, I've been a pastor a long time, folks. I would like to say there's nothing I haven't seen, but I'm not about to go there because you would prove me wrong. But there are folks who stay away from church on Communion Sunday because for whatever reason, well, that's a free Sunday for them. The church is doing communion today. I don't need to go do that. Other people stay away from Communion Sunday because of the way we might do communion. I mean, in my life, I've experienced Welch's grape juice, totally unleavened bread. Oh my goodness, that stuff is horrible. Hard and horrible. You break your teeth on it if you're not careful, you know? I can understand why people with false teeth wouldn't come to communion. That stuff was tough. And then somewhere along the way, people began to make homemade bread. And one Sunday, I'm helping serve communion with Dr. James Thompson, who was my senior pastor at First Methodist Orange, Texas. And I look over. I'm holding the cup, right? Turned out that was the best thing to hold that day. He's got the bread, and we're talking about he's trying to serve 250, 300 people, and I see him take the bread, and he's rolling it off of his finger. The bread wasn't done. He was rolling out dough for communion, okay? Wow, what an experience. And some people will stay away because of the things that we do. For instance, we now do it by intention. And one of the reasons we do it by intention is some of us, like me, getting down is easy. Getting up, That kneeling thing can be tough on your knees at some point, right? And two, the size of the congregation, because we've only got an hour here, folks. And so we've got to kind of get things done. So now we line up and we do it by intention, and somebody comes along and says, "You mean I'm going to dip my bread into that? And then I'm going to eat that?" They don't like communion by intention. And so churches do a variety of different ways in offering communion. But some folks will say, "Oh, I don't need that, so I'm just going to stay away." Oh, yeah, it's Communion Sunday again. And also with that, they mean, gee, it comes around pretty often, doesn't it? I grew up in a tradition where communion, well, we didn't call it that. We called it the Lord's Supper. God forbid we call it Holy Communion. We called it the Lord's Supper because it was just a memory thing. Okay? You memorialize Jesus. It's kind of an ordinance, which means it's a law thing. It's a rule. And that's the only reason you do it. But we're told to do it, so I guess once a year we'll do it until a preacher comes along and says, "We're not ready for this yet. We're not living right around here, so we're not going to have the Lord's Supper this year." And I remember my home church, we went about 3 years without the Lord's Supper. And finally, I think they fired the preacher to get a preacher to come in who would do the Lord's Supper. Now, isn't that something? But that's the way it worked, folks. Because you see, they read that scripture that said you're not to take it in an unworthy manner. But the thing is, that's not an adjective, that's an adverb. And we are all, as I mentioned earlier, we're all sinners, we're all unworthy. But in spite of that, the Lord says, do it. Because after all, the night he did it that time, he was sitting in a room full of people who were going to turn their backs on him. But he did it. And he even did more, he washed their feet. Oh, my Lord, that's a good reason to stay home on Sunday, isn't it? If we have foot washing. So he did it. But you mean, preacher, we're really going to do it once a month? Yeah. My wife and I, for a while, worshipped in a tradition. They did it every Sunday. It was great. There was something about being in church, knowing that with all the divisiveness in the world, with everything going on, that there was going to be a moment we would all be together at that altar receiving Holy Communion to remind us that we're all sinners and that God loves us all in spite of it and that God offers us communion. So, no, I'm not going to go to every Sunday just yet. But I think once a month is a good start. So, is Communion Sunday again? Yeah, it is. But boy, I like this last point. It's Communion Sunday again. I can't wait for Holy Communion. That ought to be the heart cry that we have, that this Sunday, above all Sundays, ought to be the Sunday that we just can't wait to get up and get here and share with our brothers and sisters how much God loves us and how much we're forgiven and that God wants us to be together in faith. You see, somewhere even in our churches, we've lost this whole identity of community and doing things out of a sense of the common good. Every now and then I have some couple come to me wanting to get married, of all things. And at some point they get around and say, "Pastor, we would like to have communion at our wedding." Okay. "Pastor, we would just like to have it for just us." And I look at them and I say, sorry. Not here. Yes, we can have Holy Communion at your wedding. I would love to do that. But it's going to be for everybody there. And I've had couples look at me and say, are you serious? I didn't think I was joking. And I've had couples even say, well, I guess we will go somewhere else. Okay? But if we're going to have communion, it's going to be for everybody, either in the room at your house, in the sanctuary of this church, in a hospital room, wherever we are, whoever is there, when we have it, it's for everybody. That is one of the big joys, because you see, it brings us all together as a unique family. Sadly, in our churches, a lot of times we all have things we like and dislike. And we all want to do this or we want to do that. And so we're all kind of fractured, believe it or not. We do support each other with our gifts and our offerings and all that. But folks, we've got to remember, Holy Communion and the body of Christ is not a Lone Ranger kind of business. When I come to Holy Communion, it's not just me coming for me. I'm coming as you. You're coming as me. We are the body of Christ. We come here together, and we receive it together, and we worship, and then we leave together, because it's in this unity, not necessarily conformity, but it's in our unity of faith in Jesus Christ that we witness to the world, especially in a time like this. I get excited about Holy Communion because, you see, in communion for me, I kind of glimpse the body of Christ, the Spirit of Christ moving in and around and through the elements. There's a word for that. It's called consubstantiation. It doesn't mean that the elements magically become real body and blood, transubstantiation, which is the Catholic doctrine, and that's them. But for us, since we came out of the Anglican tradition, there is this thing where the Spirit of God moves around and through the elements, and it becomes more than just a memory and more than just an observance. It actually becomes the Eucharist in thanksgiving, and it actually becomes a sacrament. Because when we receive it, we receive the saving presence of God in our lives. So folks, it's okay to say it's Communion Sunday again, period. No. Don't go to the question mark. I really want you to jump from the first one to the third one. It is Communion Sunday again. And I can't wait. And there's one of my preacher friends, as his little boy was coming up to him, and they were using that Hawaiian bread like we do. Oh, isn't that stuff good? They were using that. And his little boy walked up and he said, Daddy, break me off a hunk of that. It's Communion Sunday again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, now we've got to do communion.